That's what I call Nag Champa. The bigger the better. That's what they say, right? So yeah, we're reading Nag Hammadi. So we're burning some Nag Champa.
And to drink, Peru.
So it's spelled like nag, but pronounced more like eggnog, right? Nag Hammadi, Nag Champa. Nag Champa comes from the Sanskrit, though. Nag being like naga, as in serpents, like serpent gods or serpent, you know, like cobra or whatever. Champa is a kind of flower. And in the case of Nag Hammadi, of course, it's a village. And the scrolls were found in a cave near that village. Hammadi was the name of the dude, the guy, the person, the human, who founded the village. And in that context, it seems to be something more like Naja'a is the actual word. And 100% of everybody who I've ever heard make reference to this says the Nag Hammadi, not the Naja'a Hammadi. But perhaps we should all start saying the Naja'a Hammadi, starting with me, today. No, fuck that. No, the point is, in this context, it means effectiveness, Nag, effectiveness, usefulness, or benefit. It can also refer to the act of coming to or staying in a place, particularly in the context of a settlement or village, often in Upper Egypt. Does Upper Egypt still mean Southern Egypt? Because you know that's silly, right? I mean, I guess, yeah, the river flows north, so whichever way the river flows is downward. So hence, Lower Egypt is... Never mind. All right, well, that's all the fun part. Oh, wait, almost. Today's beverage. We're going to have a fully authentic... experience today. Authentic what? I don't know. But we're gonna have buttermilk in like one of those boxed drink things that you had when you were five that your mom would give you, usually apple juice or something. Usually not spiced buttermilk. At least not where I'm from. So you know, why not? Why not? Yesterday we went out and I made a video. It's called, well, I don't remember what it's called. Going to the three places, Dona Paula and two islands. There's a chipmunk outside. They call them squirrels here, but they're technically chipmunks. They have stripes and they're small. Anyway, this is the video. It's, you know, Goa stuff. I decided to add a little bit of light music just so it's a little bit less like, you know, testing. It's like I'm trying to get everybody to slow down their brain so that they can enjoy like 7 minutes of nothing. Or, you know, like no sound, no beep, 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 no music. But I added a little bit of light, you know, gypsy jazz or whatever they call Django Reinhardt. Tastes like spiced buttermilk to me. So Nag Hammadi, very potent, strong Nag Hammadi, and spiced buttermilk. And that, you know, oh, what was my point? My point was I got this like made in Goa, like unusual beer that's like purple or something, and I was gonna read the label out, but it's a little early in the day for beer, so hence the buttermilk. Already, this episode is far more interesting than it deserves to be, considering we're going to continue reading the Tripartite Tractate. But also, it's episode 22. So let's take the 22 letters of the Hebrew alphabet, and let's just stick that up here. That's kind of a throwback to the original episode of Nag Hammadi where I put the thing up there.
A little bit.
Speaking of which, if this is your first time, hi. If you'd like the playlist, if you'd like to like look at it and see like, oh, actually, I want to catch up. I don't want to miss any of the tripartite tractates. So, you know, I don't know when we started reading it, probably like part 8 or something. No, I think the introduction of the Nag Hammadi was the first like lots. And then there was the invocation of Jesus or whatever. That was back in the innocent days when we thought this was going to be an overall positive experience. And anyway, so start with episode 1, Nag Hammadi, if you want to. There's the playlist. It's the Nag Hammadi playlist. And enjoy. Enjoy yourself. There's some kind of continuous, like motor sound. It might, like, stop at some random point. If I were reading something else, I mean, not Martin Luther, but if I were reading like Tao Te Ching, I probably would actually postpone this recording until it stopped. But then the frustrating thing is it'll stop and then it'll start again. But then when I go out there and I'm like, what is this making all this noise? It's like people working on the sewer and it's like monsoon season. So I'm like, okay, do what you gotta do. I'll put up with the noise. I'm sure that the alternative would be something much worse than a hum. And it's much quieter than it's been in the past, which means it's further down the street. Oh, hello. I didn't realize there were non-blurry entities about. So, as always, on Nag Hammadi, on Chicken Philosophy, we start by reading one paragraph. It's the one paragraph challenge. Can I get through one paragraph without talking too much shit? I don't know. I doubt it. But we'll try. Okay. Oh, maybe. Well, it's a long paragraph. Oh, goody. See? It stopped. Now there's... Oh. That's nice. The weather's been a little bit... Can you say schizo? I don't know if that's on the list of banned words. It was like... raining and dark and then sunny and bright and no rain, then it was dark again and windy and then it was raining and then now it's somewhere in between. Not raining, not too bright. So we'll see what changes happen during this reading. So now we're in a new section of the intro, I guess, or whatever, this first thing. And we'll see how it goes. I'll try to just read it. But if I have something to say, as always, I'll say it because I'm a flawed human being. What can I say? Okay, here we go. This section is called the Nag Hammadi Library. Any relation to the Nag? Yes. Yes. So this is about what we're reading. This is about what this is about. So we'll see what Tao Malachi, the Gnostic guy who got the lineage... has to say about it. I don't got no lineage. I know a guy named Tao something, though. His lineage came directly from the ether, not from another human being. So if that's allowed, then anything is possible. The Nag Hammadi Library. Over the course of the past 300 years, there have been numerous finds of ancient sacred literature. So far, so good. While on the surface, the circumstances of the most significant discoveries seem coincidental or random chance, one cannot help but think of the Terma tradition in Tibet. I see, there you're going with that a little bit. The treasure finders. Sometimes the treasures are in the form of something written on a rock that you uncover, literally. Other times it's when it's written on a rock that you uncover in a dream. So, pretty loosey-goosey as far as, like, that's, like, even looser than... Never mind. Okay. In Tibet, in Vajrayana Buddhism, it is believed that enlightened masters of the past buried and hid special wisdom teachings for future generations. True. When it is time for a terma to be found, enlightened beings and intuition guide a holy person to discover a terma and to... And to receive and transmit the wisdom it contains. Though the individuals who have discovered sacred literature of Western wisdom traditions... So does that include, like, Babylon and Egypt, but, like, somewhere between the Indus River Valley civilization and the Fertile Crescent? There's an imaginary line drawn by God that divides east from west. So, Egypt, Babylon, Western, Indus River Valley civilization, China, Eastern. Everybody got that? Africa? Well, Egypt, so Western. Africa's Western. Part of the Western civilization. Africa. Africa and Europe, Western. Never mind. I'm just fucking with you. Not you, but fucking with just things in general. What? Though the individuals who have discovered sacred literature of Western... We already read that. Wisdom traditions and those who have made these sacred writings available may not exactly qualify as holy people. Like, what's his name? Ali, Muhammad Ali, where he was butchering his neighbors and then he found some scrolls. Remember that? As are the Tartans. Okay, I can never remember these words. So, terma is the treasure. Tartan is the treasure finder. Okay, try to remember that, BT. Of Tibet, nevertheless, there seems to be a movement of the spirit and perhaps the influence of enlightened or divine beings behind the discoveries. Perhaps. I can't argue with perhaps. It's only when he makes these definitive statements that I can be like, oh, really? Oh, really? Yeah, perhaps. Perhaps. A lot falls under perhaps. A lot. Sorry. What? After all, it is only now in our modern era that the stranglehold of Orthodox Christianity has been broken. I like it. I like it. I have to admit I like it. You know, I mean, sometimes he makes these definitive statements about, like, Orthodox Christianity is totally fucked and it's all Constantine's, you know, like, power thing. And it's like... That's oversimplified, you know, and then and the real Christianity, the real mysticism is in the Nag Hammadi of all places. I'm like, maybe we haven't gotten to it yet. There's a lot we haven't read in the Nag Hammadi yet, so maybe it's in there. I don't know. I can't definitively say it's not. I can only definitively say we haven't gotten to it yet. But then when he says the stranglehold of Orthodox Christianity has been broken, I mean, yes. There's still a couple of hands around the throats of a lot of people that are Orthodox Christian hands. And by that, I don't mean, like, necessarily Greek Orthodox, Russian Orthodox, although those hands are strangling plenty of people. But generally speaking, mainstream Protestant mostly, right? If you can count American evangelism as mainstream Protestant, or if they've fallen into the realm of the cults like... the Jehovah's Witnesses and the Mormons yet. Anyway, it's probably a matter of opinion, but the point is, it's loosened a bit. It's, you're allowed to, like, walk around, right? You're allowed to walk around now, mostly, in most places. What am I talking about? It's nice to be able to... Never mind. Okay, continuing. Keep reading so we can get past it. The stranglehold of Orthodox Christianity has been broken to allow such ancient sacred texts to see the light of day without being hidden away in some secret vault of the Vatican. We've all seen those Dan Brown movies, right? It's like the end of Raiders of the Lost Ark. You kind of imagine that, but it's like much more organized, I guess, right? There's pictures of it, right? Editor, can you show us a picture of like the Vatican archives or whatever? Thank you, Editor Edward. I'm assuming if you search before, you can still search for images that were published on the internet before a certain time, and so you can guarantee that you're not looking at something AI generated. You know, there's this like billboard on the road toward South Goa, where because there's casinos in Goa, so there's these like. Now, of course, people want to like cut corners as much as possible. So it's clear that somebody wrote into ChatGPT, like, show a couple that's way too excited to be gambling. And so there's these people that are just frighteningly like, like so happy to be. You know, I always want to snap a picture of it, but I never do. I'm usually driving, so it's not really safe to do that. Continuing. The fuck? Or destroyed altogether, yes. Likewise, it is now with our general standard of education higher than ever before. That these sacred texts can benefit more individuals. I think the idea of them has benefited some people toward a certain end that may or may not be positive, but all right, I'll just keep reading. Also, if at any time we have needed an extension of light and truth, comes on back, light on this. The people who know. The people who don't are like, what the fuck is he talking about? Yes, that's the way it is with secret handshakes and shit like that. Also, yeah, we just read that. And a restoration of true spirituality and enlightenment. Keep going, Edward. In Western culture, it is now, as we... 1930? No, this was like 1980 or whatever. It is now as we face what may well be our greatest evolutionary challenge. Flight at our size? No. With growing psychic tension due to an acceleration of consciousness... Access to increasingly greater technology and power. Environmental issues and development towards global culture. All of which must be managed and integrated. We are in need of spiritual wisdom. Considering the significant role of the West in this inevitable process... The timing of these discoveries could not be more perfect than the present. Well, I have a renewed, vague curiosity toward the idea of that there's wisdom in this? In this? Are we reading the same book, Tal Malachi? I don't know. You're clearly not talking about the tripartite tractate. All right, so now... Let's read as much of this as possible and get as close to no longer needing to read it again as we can. All right. The Word gives thanks and brings forth a third order of powers. Those who come from a similar background as I do get a little bit of a tingle in the spine when you hear the phrase third order. Right? All right. After the Word, who had become deficient, was illuminated. His fullness came to be. He freed himself from those who previously had been revolting against him. Became disentangled from them, and stripped himself of his former presumptuous thought. He acquired the unification of rest, as those who had been disobedient to him once before bowed down and succumbed to him. Moreover, he rejoiced in the visitation of his brothers who had come to visit him. He gave glory and praise to those who had revealed themselves to him. Very nice. Oh, very nice. Praise, you know, like compliments and shit. To give help, giving thanks that he had become free from those who had rebelled against him. And admiring and praising the greatness, with a capital G, and those who had resolved to reveal themselves to him. Is it better to have someone reveal themselves to you, or the anticipation that they're going to reveal themselves to you later? I suppose it depends on what's actually underneath the bathrobe, because it's a sliding scale. What? He brought forth living images of the living figures, being handsome and good, since they derived from those who exist. They resemble these... Oh, that's like when you're thinking and you're basing the image of what you're thinking of on actual people. Okay, I get it. It's like AI again, but not... It's just the I without the A. Can you call that intelligence, or just... I think they call it the spank bank, don't they? No, okay, I'll just... What? Being handsome... Yeah, we already said that. Though they are not truly equal with them, since they had not issued from a union between him who had brought them forth and the one who had revealed himself to him. Nevertheless, he worked with wisdom and understanding. Sidebar, Tree of Life me. Wisdom is Chokmah, the gray one, and understanding is Binah, the black one. Checkmate, atheists. Never mind, I'll just keep uniting himself completely with the word given to him. Therefore, what issued from him was great. And we've all seen those. I think it's called hentai when it's great issuings coming forth from things. Just as that which exists is truly great. I mean, I've heard. Having admired the beauty of those who had revealed themselves to him, he acknowledged then his thanks for their visitation. The Word, with a capital W, effected this work by means of the ones from whom he had obtained help, in order that those who had come into being from him should be set aright and might receive something good, as he decided to pray that the fixed economy might attain all those who had gone forth from him. As a result, those whom he brought forth in accordance with this intention occupied chariots. In the same way as the existing ones who had revealed themselves. Obviously. So that they may traverse all regions of activities lying below, and each one may obtain his fixed place in accordance with what he is. This was a defeat for those who belong to the imitation. But for those who belong to the remembrance, it was an act of beneficence. And it was a revelation of the things that arose from the unitary and compassionate decision of the aeons, even if they are only seeds that have not yet come into being for themselves. For that which was manifested was a countenance of the Father and of the Concord. It was a garment composed of every grace and food, consisting of the things the Word had brought forth when he prayed, and it received the glory and the praise he had performed with his eyes fixed on the ones to whom he prayed, so as to make perfect, by means of them, the images he brought forth. Okay. For the word greatly increased mutual cooperation and expectant hope. And they experienced happiness, deep rest, and undefiled pleasures. Not my favorite kind of pleasures, but better than nothing, right? The things that he at first had only remembered when they were not before him in their perfection. he now brought forth with an object of vision before him. It is revealed to him, but remaining in the hope and the faith of the Father. The completely perfect one. He has not yet been united with it. For fear that the ones who have come into being might perish from looking at the light, since they cannot sustain a greatness of such supreme magnitude. I enjoyed that. That was fine. It was fine. In a vacuum, it was fine. I mean, you know, there were levels to it that we could play, that we did play with. You know, with the facial expressions and the asides and stuff. But, you know, as above, so below. Why shouldn't it be like some kind of, like, adolescent masturbatory thing? You know, I mean, this is clearly before, well, I don't know if it's clear, but like the word with a capital W as a personified person, like trying this, oh, that didn't work. Maybe this, oh, I don't know. Like, I can't remember how perfect you look, but I'm going to visualize you. Like, is this before he was Jesus? I mean, because the word was in the beginning and was with God and was God and all that. The same was with God in the beginning, right? And then the word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we knew him not, because, you know, whatever, right? And that was Jesus, right? Right, John? Oh, wait, John got canonized. He's in a separate category. I mean, doesn't that suck? Like, there was a time when all these gospels were just, like, little kids hanging out in school in the playground. Oh, and then the Orthodox recruiter came and said, you shall be canonized. The rest of y'all, fuck off. You know, like, then there was a split, and those four gospels went on to become the Orthodox stranglehold or whatever, you know, and then the other 7,000, never mind. There's nowhere for that to go. This next section is called The Aeon of the Images. I think that's the one we're in now. Everything's images. Even I'm an image. Oh my god. I'm like two-dimensional on the screen. See, it's an illusion. There's nothing coming out at you. It's just flat. This isn't a voice. It's just a vibrating little plastic and metal thing. Weird. Okay. Freaking incense is like too big. My spoon is too big. Am I allowed to say that? Now, this thought of the word. When he turned toward his consolidation and became master over those who had come into being because of him, was called Aeon and place, or Naja. For all those he brought into being in accordance with the decision of the aeons. Further, it is called Assembly of Salvation, for it healed him from the dispersion. Which is the multiform thought, and turned him toward the single thought. Such and such. What was Pia was telling me? One means mental process, thought process. The other means truth. Such, I think, is like mental process, and such is truth. As in Satya, the incense brand. And I couldn't help thinking of thought and thoth and taught and mercury and philosophic mercury being more like capital T truth than... Well, maybe. And lowercase mercury being more like mental process seems to all be connected. Anyway. Similarly, it is called storehouse because of the rest he attained and gave himself. Moreover, it is called bride because of his joy over what was given to him, in the hope of the fruit that would issue from the union revealed to him. It is also called, quote, kingdom. Oh, right, okay. Because of the consolidation he obtained when he rejoiced in his power over those who opposed him. Yeah, okay. Old-fashioned psalm shit. And it is called, quote, the joy of the Lord, end quote. Because of the delight with, bracket parentheses, which he... and bracket parentheses, clothed himself when the light was before him, giving him recompense for the good that was in him and the thought of freedom. Careful with that one, buddy. No. The aeon we here have been talking about is above the two orders of those who were fighting against one another. It shares nothing with those who hold dominion, nor is it implicated in the sicknesses and weaknesses belonging to the remembrance or to the imitation. For that in which the Word, the capital W, established himself, filled with joy, was an aeon. Wasn't it, though? It had the form of one, but it also had the constitution of its cause, which is what had been revealed, since it was an image of those who exist in the fullness, capital F, and who had come into being out of the abundant delight of the one who is. Capital O, capital W, capital I. This reminds me of my old stupid, like, prose about, like, the author coming in and smashing all the characters he created in his stupid story and then being like, what do I do now? How do I end this story? All my characters are dead. Anyway. What? In his joy, however, at the countenance of the one who had revealed himself, in his pleasure, his expectation. That was a different book, wasn't it? Expectation. Oh, yeah, no, that was from Buddhist books. That was from the recent Mahavagga 7 Part 2. Some freaky bug crawling around. It's on the outside, so that's the important thing. All right, anyway. Tropical. What? Doesn't matter. His expectation and the promise he had received of the things he had begged for. He possessed the word of the Son together with his essence, his power, and his form. He was the one he desired and delighted in. He was the one who had been prayed for in love. This aeon was light and a desire to be set aright, an openness for instruction, and an eye designed for vision, qualities that it had from those above. Moreover, it was wisdom, for his thought against the ones who were placed lower in the economy, a word for speech, and other perfect things of this kind. This next section is titled The Individual Members of This Aeon. Those, moreover, who had been formed together with him after the image of the fullness, with a capital F, have as their parents the ones who had revealed themselves. That's good. You know, it's kind of a bummer when you, the ones with the blanket with the little hole, like in, like water for chocolate. This is just for procreation, God, I'm sorry. They never reveal themselves. Turn off the lights like Dedra and... what's his name? Karn. You know what I'm talking about, right? Turn off the lights. We only have an hour. What? Okay. Back up just a little. Together with the one who revealed themselves, each one of them being a small impress of one of the figures. Being male forms, both of them. Okay, all right. Some alternate, some progressive biological theory or something. I don't know. Being male forms, since they have not originated from the sickness, which is femaleness. Oh, thank God. I was starting to feel like, have I been wrong in, like, talking so much shit? Like, this is fine. And then it got to, like, the it revealed the thing, the it, the what was given to him, so he called it a bride because he was looking forward to the fruit that might come out of their union. I'm like, isn't that a little misogynistic? I mean, okay, 2,000 years ago, sure. Everyone, right? Everyone? Everyone except for Jesus, I think, was pretty misogynistic. The sickness is femaleness. Okay. Both the parents are male because he's perfect. The word is perfect, right? Word perfect. You remember anybody old enough to remember word perfect? DOS-based word? Microsoft? Never mind. Both his parents are male because they have to be for him to be so perfect because weakness and sickness is femaleness. All right. Whew. Ah, I feel good. Can freely talk shit about this stupid scripture. Zero guilt. Nice place to be. Where were we? But from one who has already left the sickness behind, yes, to pursue other perfect forms. If you don't want to catch my drift, like guys in the desert. They possess the name, quote, church, end quote. Tao Malachi, where was the part with the wisdom that we need in Western civilization at this stage in your projection of whatever the world looks like to you? It's netty netty, you know, like there's a certain point where it's like, if I say nothing, people will assume that the stuff in their head is the stuff that I mean by saying nothing. But if what they mean is this shit, then I can read it aloud and you can hear my thoughts about it. So you know, no, not this, not this, not that. Okay, not the heretical church, not the Orthodox church. I'm not defending the Orthodox church when I say that the heretical church is stupid too. No. But, you know, like, maybe there's a baby in the bathwater. I'm not just reading this so that I can become more of an expert in talking shit about it. I'm open. I really am. There's a lot more to read. Maybe there's really some wisdom in there, and I'll be like, Tao Malachi, I'm sorry I talked so much shit. There's the wisdom. That's the wisdom we need. Here it is. But I sincerely doubt we'll ever find a baby in this bathwater, but I'm open enough that if he should appear, I will recognize him. Okay, where were we? I don't care. Let's close. This is good enough. I was hoping to like get as far as possible. We're in the middle of the beginning of a section. The tripartite tractate goes on and on. Oh, okay, only another 20 pages. Wasn't it 24 pages last time I counted the pages? So, 5 more episodes of tripartite tractate, then we'll get onto something else, I don't know what, but we can imagine that it'll be something. No, tripartite tractate is fine, it's fine. It's got the misogyny, it's kind of nonsensical, it's a little weird. It's kind of trippy at times. It has the familiar character from the Bible of the Word, which we can assume is like Jesus or whatever. So it's interesting to imagine Jesus going through all these antics and having 2 dads, because to have a mom would be, make him not perfect because women are icky. Like, okay, all right, what are we doing here? Why are we reading this? Maybe just to burst the bubble, because, like, I think 99.9% of the people who blow smoke up the ass of this book haven't read it. So we're reading it aloud for 1 or 2 people out there to be able to go, oh, wow, yeah, that is pretty stupid, isn't it? You know, and then the next time someone else is like, oh, have you heard of the Nag Hammadi? The Nag Hammadi's the real scriptures. I can be like, are they though? You know, like, but still, we have to read the whole thing before we can definitively say that it's trash. No, I mean, it was trash. It's ancient trash. Trash that somebody thought they should preserve. And then 2,000 years later, somebody dug up and said, oh my God, this is really old trash. You know, like, let's translate it. See what it says. It says this. Oh. Why do you suppose Constantine and the boys left it out of the canonized gospel? Because they couldn't use it as part of their evil plan to make the last 2,000 years happen. Or because it was trash. You know, or there's a spectrum. Spectrum me. There's a spectrum. Never mind. Whatever. I don't know. Happy 22, Nag Hammadi. You know. And the world, man, it's crazy these days. Hope everybody stays safe and hopeful. And, you know, like, if all the bullshit is a useful distraction or way to find a sense of meaning at a certain point in time, then sure, okay. But I hope that it doesn't become such a distraction that it takes away from one's ability to realize that there are things beyond these human games and even just the present moment shouldn't have like too many filters and veils of distraction between you and them. Well, anyway, I wish the best for myself and for you, whoever you may be. And, all right. We did it. We got through the Nag Hammadi episode. Now we just have to get through a Martin Luther episode. Edward will be reading that one. And then Gwydion will do the second Tao Te Ching episode, and that'll be fun. Oh, is it going to be my turn again? Oh, God, time flies. Gwydion doing Tao Te Ching. Oh, no, then it'll be my turn to do Mechan Revelation. Okay. And then Edward will be doing the Carl Jung Black Book. Doesn't matter. No need to look that far ahead. And we're coming up on Pymander 1000. I was thinking, like, what to do? I don't know. I think I might just... Like, you know, when someone, like, there's some people that when they get the news, like, they go to the doctor and the doctor's like, you know, you have a week left to live. Some people keep their mouth shut and just live those last days as if they were any other day. And I think that's how I might treat Pymander 1000. Just one of these days, it'll be one of us on Chicken Philosophy, or it'll be Pymander Aquarian on Buddhist Books Podcast, and then that little thing in the corner, or I'll just remember this is today. I think it's 9:57 today, right? So I mean, 9:57? Oh, that means we're not anywhere near 1000. What are you thinking, Edward? Were you thinking it's an hour, like 60 is where it loops around to? It's not time, it's the decimal system. Never mind, I take it all back. We're about 43 episodes, 43 videos away from Pymander 1000. Brain glitch, sorry. It's that whole decimal versus Babylonian thing. Because they did the 60, the 360, the 12, and then later someone was like, we have 10 fingers though, so let's do 10 times 10 times 10 times 10. It's sort of like the metric versus the imperial. I'm done. Let's wrap it up, Edward. You know, may you and the bosom of Gnostic Jesus have fun tonight, everybody. Wang Chung tonight. Until next time.